Honourable members, good morning and welcome. I suggest that we should start. It does seem to me that we are now correct. Welcome to our first Portfolio Committee meeting in the year 2015. Members would remember that the last time we met, it was in a strategic planning session. I also must welcome our officials, both from the department and from the committee itself, and our business council, who is here. Tell yourself today.
Kim G.
Yeah, most welcome. We only have one item in our agenda, but before that, can we receive our policy?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I have one apology from Honorable T. Kenya. She has a doctor appointment. Thank you, Chair.
Chairman?
Yes.
Honorable Kunwan is still in the Justice Committee. He will be going to sleep.
Okay. You have to leave at 11. Oh. My ethical conduct is very appropriate, don't worry. Okay, you will be permitted the honorable comment. Oh, there's the agenda. Can I hear you on the agenda? One item is a briefing by the department on its performance and financial report for the third quarter, as well as the African Rights Fund. We're going to look at that and hear the department. That agenda item. Honorable Hadela?
Sir, I propose that the agenda be
The second letter? Thank you very much. Department, you have not tabled the apology for the DG. And we also got a late submission of your this version. And the other one I was just here now on the table. This one. I got it yesterday. This one. And you see the other one. You can't even make sense with it. Which one is which one? This one. I got it yesterday. This one was given now by the secretary. So indication of which is that machine or whatever machine. Can we agree on these two things?
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning.
Morning.
We have two briefings today for the Parliament. One is for the Select Committee. DG is not around. In that sense, me the chief, which is being late. So I want to apologize for DG not being part of this meeting, the chair. The vision that you have.
No, no. Did you say you must apologize for me?
Yes.
Now, when I called for apologies, you didn't say anything.
I thought the team from our parliament deposited the apology with this.
Did not let us before. Will I let? Manager? Did not say will I follow the customer
apology
as my letter? How should we deal with that?
Chair, our apologies. We will look into the matter from the ministry side. It might have been a department. I think somewhere between the department and the portfolio committee, the letters have come through. because they should have been in the policy unit. So I'll check it to see where Kostak was. It's in the ministry, in the DG's office, and why it didn't come through, and we'll give you a report on it. And from the COO side, he has been deployed to the NCOP because we've got a clash portfolio committee and the NCOP today.
Yeah, but you must apologize to the DG that you did not represent in one year. Okay. They put an enlightening. On the other one, on the changing guidance, I don't know what to call it. Remember, maybe let me just put a short context. To the extent that I can remember, we said to you, you must give us your report. Some few days before. For instance, if we meet on a Wednesday, as it is Wednesday, you should either have a report on Friday or at least on Monday. Members must be able to read the report. Must be able to report and to read the report so that they can engage the department intelligently, you see. And they also, because they might have to take decisions or they might have to recommend, they must not do so because they are ignorant of certain factors and facts. And as a department, you should make it easy for us to oversight you. Not something unacceptable, hidden, not a big no-no, not a big horror. You just do your work and then you say, oh, let's give it to this member, and they ask a question, then we respond. Then we all know who the auditor general will come one day and ask a question. And what? Manjige, if you give us different versions based on this wrong, no, not wrong, but different versions, the first thing is that members are deprived of reading the report, engaging it with it meaningfully, like honorable members. So it means the quality of engagement and the quality of the meeting and the quality of recommendations and comments becomes very low. And it's bad for Parliament as an institution. Bad for all of us, bad for the country. So if you have visitors, for instance, in a community, you can have people from Malawi, from Zimbabwe, from NGOs, from everywhere else, but not from your Laila with it. Zishangani, Lakana Umashao, it's a much different. Then we shall get it. But I don't want to hear what is happening in a committee. I can also go to the Justice Committee or any other committee. And from the level of engagement, you think these people are some aid. Spare, it will be fair. Don't understand the context within which I'm talking about. It's not like, hey, they must not get this information. They'll ask us if you can't find it. Now, members are not adversarial in their engagement. They are probing. And which is their way. So can I hear?
No, thank you, Honorable. Chairperson, we want to again express our apology. Chairperson, we take note and we, on the undertaking that we submit the document beforehand. Unfortunately, the notice of the meeting for this sitting was only received on Friday, and we were all here in terms of the program that we had. So, we only finalize our document for this presentation on Monday, which we then sent the document yesterday, which is Tuesday. So we want to apologize that it was not our intention not to submit the document for time. It was based on the time that we limit that we had in terms of the notice for the meeting. We'll then rectify it so that when the quarter when it's finishing, when we submit our information to the other oversight committees, we'll then send that before the meeting is called or confirmed. So we'll change our approach on how we should then deposit our information. so that we can have a good engagement.
Yeah. Before I allow members to comment on this one, if they want to, I can confirm, now I remember, I can confirm that it was on Friday that we issued the invitation. When you came to me for me to sign, yeah, it was on Friday. No, I can confirm. But that the changing of versions is still something there. But I can confirm, I only signed it on Friday.
Thank you very much. I think without anybody in the point, you said all the right things. And we concur and support what you have said. Just to re-emphasize the fact that it is our oversight duty that we engage with the documents that are sent to us. And often as MPs, we are urged to be lazy people who don't do their work, who don't read, who don't engage. And it's precisely because of such late delivery of documents. And sometimes it creates a perception that things are hidden. Because of when you have a late night, documentation like this one that arrives at the tail end, it creates that perception that something is hidden within the context. It might be a small number that changes the whole report. We are with you on this one. It's unacceptable, and we hope this is the last, notwithstanding the fact that we have sent notices on Friday. The administration should always be on their toes to know that there is a meeting, that will always come up. They cannot sit on their laurels and hope that there's no meeting, if there's no invitation, there's nothing to report. It is unacceptable, sir. And I hope you follow up on the issue of the apology of the DG, because of this is a very important meeting as well that we need the DG to hear. Thank you very much, Chair.
So they can have laurels, but they must not sit on them. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair, for the opportunity. Good morning, once again, honorable members. Sorry to present without my facial expression. The city makes me to look at what. But I'll take it.
Can someone offer it for you?
Thank you, Chair. The presentation that we have before us is with regard to the third quarter report for the performance information as well as the fiscal report for the third quarter. We also report on the work that is done for the ARS system for the third quarter. Chairperson, we just want to introduce the same. On the third quarter, there were two major events that we participated in as a country. One was the voting of the FOCA Summit in Johannesburg, that's from the 4th to the 6th of December. One of the main outcomes of that conference was the investment that has been pledged for $60 billion, which South Africa has got an opportunity to tap immediately $10 billion worth in terms of the infrastructure and skills development. So that is the outcome that the we want to report it one of the milestones. And during this period, we also participated in a climate change conference, which is COP21, which was hosted in Paris. And this was culminated from the work that we have done in 2011, when we hosted the COP70. So that was basically a continuation of the work that we have done through the Durban platform for enhanced issues. Chairman, we also, in the period, managed to share the G77 plus China in terms of the preparatory work that we've done in terms of the climate change, as well as the adoption of the 2030 Agenda of Sustainable Development with a set of 17 sustainable developmental goals and 169 associated targets. So this was mere from our NDP document, which the committee our team in New York managed to negotiate. It was part of the milestone that we were building blocks in terms of the cooperation as well as the SDGs, which then take into account the minimum goals that were coming to the end in 2050. So within the context here, we have some serious challenges in the environment that we are operating in the department, which is characterized by a rapid weakening of the rand against major currencies that we have witnessed in the third quarter, and also the slow down on for growth, which also have an impact in terms of the global economic outlook, and also the price in terms of the commodity. We shall see that the dollar has definitely taken a lot in terms of the oil prices, which most of the countries in the continent, they are facing challenges around. Countries in Kwali, in Luanda, they are also experiencing challenges. Chairperson, when you look at the program presentation in terms of the target for the third quarter, we want to report that we have committed to comply with the 30-day internet period. Within that, we have achieved in terms of making the payment. However, in terms of the compliance, we see when we come to our end site, the time frame that we have to submit to Treasury is the area that we need to really improve around. But in terms of the payment, the impact we are paying our suppliers within 30 days. And in the percentage, the 100% consular assistance is only to expect the service delivery. So we are continuing providing consular services in our missions abroad in the cases that we have handled, which deals with the issue of citizen in distress, detainees, in terms of prisoners, which relate to new cases. We have to deal with the issue of water running, adoption changes, as well as the whereabouts and particular child adoption as well as these are the cases that we manage to handle within that. Within our environment, we also conduct field work with regard to the investigation for fitting for our officials that both head office as well as officials. So we completed around about 70 cases that we completed. Our part is basically to do the first thing, and then we hand over the matter to the state security to the high level in terms of polygraph processing. Then we look at the HR in terms of our grievances. So our target is 100% lodged grievances handled within 30 days. So we managed to handle 2 cases which we resolved within the 30 day period. And also our target in terms of how we handle disciplinary cases within 90 days. We managed to achieve 1 case that we have handled, and also the construction of the channel in Darasala, which is in progress. So this is a target that was carried over from the previous financial year. But we recall that this is a project that we initiated in the last 2 financial years. So currently we are sitting at 72%, and the delay is in terms of how we then source the material. So the material shows what next are in the Arasalam and then to show the other part. We also have 1 project which is Malawi. So fortunately for the Malawi project, we then put material locally, which is in terms of transportation and clearance purposes. So currently we also on program 1 provide training program in terms of the VGRD. So we managed to perform over the target, which is the report training program we implemented within the record, which deals with the work skills program for heads of mission, as well as the preparatory language training, which we then teach in-house French, Spanish, Portuguese, Arab, and as well as the general training for the staff complement that we want to continue enhancing the skills in terms of that. We also provided 8 protocol training programs, which we offer to other stakeholders in terms of the government, as well as the national departments, as well as provincial departments in terms of that area. We also managed to then deal with 1 research paper which is the Chinese economic downturn and its implication to South Africa in terms of how we can improve our trade. Other programs to Chairperson focus on the structural bilateral mechanism, which is aimed at promoting national priority, which is underpinned from the African agenda as well as structural cooperation. So we have planned 14, managed to fulfill 13 bilateral engagements, and one was basically what we able to be achieved based on the change of program in terms of our availability of our political stakeholders. In terms of the high level things, we are targeted of 40, but we managed only to complete 10 high level visits. And the reason for that is based on the schedule of our principal, where we have to cancel that. But the bilateral engagement as well as the high level visits is both outgoing and incoming, which is dependent on other stakeholders on honoring their focus. In terms of the trade, we target fair trade and investment seminars. Under the period that we are reporting, 39 trade and investment seminars were held and attended to promote South Africa as a trade destination, so which in the area of agro processing, minerals and mining, engineering, ICT, pharmaceutical, as well as tourism and green energy, which also talks to the grow economy, operations by this well promoted in those trade and investment studies, which is held, which was said by our missions abroad, which we work closely with the Department of Trade and Industry. And in that period, we also had a target of 18 bilateral meetings held with targeted government ministries, which we managed to surpass that target. We managed to run about 20,000 engagements in terms of the networking opportunities, which will then with different government departments in the those countries that we are representing. We also had a target of 30 meetings with high-level institutional investors and importers. So we managed to achieve 36 in terms of engagement and revenue opportunities in terms of the area that we facilitate, which was also part of the presidential 1.5, which we managed to achieve that. So we also targeted 48 engagement with chambers of commerce, which we, on this one we are under, I think we managed to get 32 engagement in terms of this engagement with the chambers of commerce in the whole country that our issues are represented. On tourism, we targeted 14 tourism promotion events, which we managed to do 20 tourism stakeholders where emphasis was to increase the exposure of South Africa to the tourist nation and preferred destination. So this is the work that is being done by our nation in order to encourage tourism to visit South Africa. In terms of the promotion and introduction of human rights, this is the work that we do on the international level, and the meeting in Geneva specializes on that in terms of human rights. So during this period, we also deliver different statement reflecting South African national leadership at the United Nations High Commission of Refugees, which is based in Switzerland, Geneva. So we continue to prioritize this work with the majority of the work that is done by the mission and focusing on human rights. And also regular sessions of the United Nations General Assembly, the main committee, which promoted and potential international interest during the negotiation of the six main committees of the UNGA with disarmament and armed proliferation, proliferation, economic and finance, social and human, material and cultural, social, political and decolonization, including administrative and budgetary matters and legal, which is basically done within the committees, within the UN. We also look at the target of the United Nations Education, Scientific and Cultural Organization, which is UNICEF, which is South Africa is not necessarily a member of that, but was elected for first term for the Executive Board of UNICEF and appointed as the Vice chairperson of the African Group in the Executive Board. On climate change, we highlighted that one of the successes is that we managed to preserve the outcome of the climate, which then comes to be a legal binding, in the root of legal binding outcomes for COP21, so that we preserve and people's stability, socio-economic development, good governance and democracy. So during the period, we have advanced African agenda through participation at African Commission on Human and People's Rights, where after presented a statement that appraised the Commission on measures, successes, and programs achieved by South Africa in its continued effort to promote and protect human rights. So this is done within the AU participation, and also the South Africa was also elected as a new chairperson of the Commission. So this is one of the outcomes that we also want to include the work that we're doing around us. So we also participated in two election observer missions, which is one in Tanzania as well as Station. Organ of the summit, which is participated in the extraordinary summit with Botswana in terms of the target on the matter of the Kingdom of the Pacific. So we continue to participate in that effort. Further, we already highlighted in terms of the achievements that we achieved as part of the outcome of the focus summit in Johannesburg. So on BRICS, we also participated in listening for BRICS leaders on the margin of the G20 summit, where notably the substantive progress made in advancing intra-BRICS cooperation, particularly with the new development bank. So we continue to work around that in terms of the implementation of the inaugural project in the beginning of 2016. So we are preparing in terms of the UFA outcome measurement that we need to see a certain project within that. So AORA Sarasa leveraged the opportunity as the vice chair to share ideas in preparation for the chairship position for the 2017-2019. So the blue economy remained a key priority for IORA and Sarasa's leadership of the blue economy core group, as well as was reconfirmed and endorsed by the Commission. Under Program 4, Chairperson, we talk about the work that is done by State Protocol 17, which is working in Tutu. We also have public diplomacy in this program. The target was to achieve 100% of the requests for Protocol 17 for state and ceremonial events, including incoming and outgoing visits. Within that, we hosted FOCAC, which is the international conference, and we also facilitated 8,106 visitors through our state protocol outreach, which is both Cape Town, Durban, as well as all coming in terms of the facilitation. And also then facilitated the incoming and outgoing international visits by our members, which is our deputy president as well as our president. And we also facilitated incoming and outgoing international visits for the provincial and local government. So that is the area that we also facilitate in terms of our work and performance process. And our public diplomacy, we had a target of 3 million briefings, 40 statements issued, and 2 opinion pieces to the readers. And that also had a target of public participation program or people's peace, which is entered by our deputy minister to the minister in the work that we do. So during the period, we reported that 3 million people were held at land, which also focused on broker. 46 media statements were issued on presidential and ministerial visits and engagement, both locally and abroad. 2 opinion pieces were issued, as well as the 3 public participants programs were held during the period. Chairperson, I just want to highlight in terms of the report that you have received in terms of our performance assessment two, which is from the outside. In terms of the service management, this is where we have received our rating. We say we are third line, we then have a 4-4, and annual performance plan. In terms of the monitoring and quarterly performance report, the average of 3, and the service delivery improvement program mechanism, and 4, as well as our ICT, which relates to our governance in terms of our ICT. And also the government accountability, ethics and financial disclosure, we managed to have everyone submitted their disclosure on time, which is an improvement from our previous report, and also manage the issue of fraud and prevention, including the promotion of access to information area. And the area that requires attention is on the management structure and the internal audit. So one of the reasons was that in the quarter we didn't have capacity in terms of the number of audits that we have performed. But we then have the chart in terms of how the audit committee is managed. So but that's the area that we are working on in terms of the capacity to the internal audit. But in terms of HR, in terms of the planning, the recruitment and selection, the delegation, in terms of the Public Service Act, we are experienced in terms of management. And the area that requires attention is on the management of diabetes, management of employee health. So this is the work that we do in terms of the support structure, especially when we transfer position abroad. We do have an in-house employee wellness. So the part that we need to work on is the organizational design. We have done the part in terms of functional assessment for head office. We are currently working on the part of the mission in terms of our transfer staff, including the local recruitment. So that is the part that we have targeted to, and should have then made some progress, which the progress is so in that area. So unauthorized, in terms of financial management, in that area we are, as we have started for, basically so that we are improving in terms of how we manage our finances, and also monitoring the part of the unauthorized, irregular, fluctuating wasteful expenditure, where three. The payment of supplies is what I indicated, that in terms of the scoring was referred to us reporting to the national agents within the health care. But the payment of supplies is done to 30 days. We have a tracking system that monitors that in terms of the payment of supplies. Chairperson, if you allow me, I can go directly to the financial report. We talk to the quarter three in terms of how we are performing based on the funds that have been appropriated. Chairperson, the adjustment estimate that is received, I want to register the adjustment estimate that we have received after we submitted our request for additional funding through National Treasury in the form of Treasury Memorandum. Our appropriation then increased to 6.5 billion. And the projected spending for that is 4.4 billion. And in terms of the spending, we've spent already 4.5 billion, which now we have spent more than 100 million over the projected spending. Chairperson, the reason why we spend more than the projected spending is based on the depreciation of the land against the currency that we spend abroad. The reason why we are not able to contain the expenditure within the projected budget is based on the fact that the obligation that we have in mission, for example, we have obligation in terms of payment salary for staff that is stationed abroad, including the local employed personnel. And in addition, we need to then pay for our league commitment for the chairman, as well as the chair residents, and for the staff, because of the benefits that are provided from the Foreign Service disposition. Just to indicate, Chairperson, that the Foreign Service disposition is an outcome which was last negotiated with the organized labor in 2008. So it's a termination. So CPSA facilitates the negotiation on behalf of government partners. The department that also is applicable to the official and posted at the airport. We've got PCI, we've got Home Affairs, we've got Defense, we've got State Security. So these are the departments that participate in that. So the DPSA has taken this in terms of negotiating. So we have a challenge in terms of the Foreign Exchange Rate Association, which we have created a risk that we then incur an unharmed in that regard. So the, as I indicated, the high spending is on the composition of employees. We had a budget of 2.9 billion. Our projection was 2 billion, and we already spent 200 million more than the projected budget. Just to indicate, Chairperson, one of the issues that is not reflected in it is with regard to the adjusted appropriation. We have not received the approval from Treasury in terms of the adjusted appropriation bill. So in terms of the cash, we have the budget, but we have not received the money that we have received additional money in terms of the budget, 830 million. But we have not received the cash to that. So which then poses a risk in terms of us not able to pay our service providers because we do not have the cash to do that unless if national treasury allow us to operate an overdraft.
Deputy Minister, most welcome. I was advised that you would join us a bit later. Most welcome, and the officials who are working with you. We are on page 22. He is presenting the financial report of the third quarter. So I'm just indicating that the department has spent just about, what's that, 1%, did you say that?
Yeah, we spent more by 1%.
Overspent. You actually overspent, and then you will provide the reasons. Compensation of employees, lease, and all of those things. So, in my old language where I grew up, you have eaten more money than you are required to. Proceed.
Well, then we check out. So, the first thing I want to highlight is that we have the budget, which we already overspent in terms of the crime economy climate, but more importantly is that we will appeal that the appropriation bill is approved, then we will then address our cash flow problem. Because one of the issues, Chairperson, we also collect money or revenue on behalf of Home Affairs. We come to an agreement with Home Affairs that all revenue that are related to civic and immigration services, we then collect and pay directly to National Revenue Fund, which then includes the collection. So Home Affairs got an option or approval to have self-financing. So there are certain problems that Home Affairs then go to Treasury and indicate that they plan for this revenue to do the self-financing in terms of their money. So, Chairperson, just to highlight that in Program 1, we are on track, and you can see that in terms of the spending, this is most of the work is local, which is basically predictable, so there's no reason that you can provide it to over 7 areas that are locally paid. So the only area that is an impact on the foreign exchange is a foreign asset management, which is our property portfolio abroad. As we indicated, currently we have got two projects that are running, which is Dar es Salaam as well as the Longwe, and we are spending in terms of the budget, which we worked closely with public works in terms of how they certify the work performance. So the other areas
that we want to highlight here is basically the goods and services. So this goods and services in terms of the selling is high, which is 83%, but this has to do with our communication services. Our ICT is centralized at head office, so it also attracts the foreign exchange rate in terms of the connectivity that we then have with our mission board. We require bandwidth in order to communicate in terms of the access to the internet. Program 2, that's where we have our bilateral branches. We then have Africa, which is basically this is area which is affected directly by the foreign exchange rate fluctuation. So when the rand depreciates, the expenditure, as I indicated earlier, for commitment goes up. So in terms of the spending, we already overspend the projected budget that we should have done by 2.9%, which is basically more than 120 million rand. Program 3 is also our cooperation that we do in terms of our global system of governance. It's also affected by the foreign exchange rate movement. In this global system of governance, is the two missions. Our mission in New York, the permanent mission in New York, as well as our mission in Geneva. So continental cooperation this has to do with the work that we conduct under the AU. We've got our mission in Africa. So this is also the area that we want to report that in terms of spending, we have commitments in foreign currency, which the rand when it depreciates, then already the negative impact on it. Program 4, this is our state protocol and public diplomacy. So, chapter under public diplomacy, we spend more than what we planned in terms of the work that we have done. This has to do chapter with the request of our needs. You'll recall, Honorable Chair, that we came here when we presented our budget, our first quarter, our second quarter, that we expected to host the AU summit as well as the FOCA summit. Unfortunately, there were no additional funding that we received in September. So we had to then reprioritize certain projects, which was basically on our four-party portfolio, to then fund money to then service the obligation of both to the AU summit as well as the FOCA. So these two areas, which is public diplomacy and protocol services, they handle that in terms of cost center, which talk about the requirement for the us being hosted in terms of that. Program 5, we have spent 100% of the budget at projected. One is the departmental agency. This is a transfer to the African Resources Fund, which is our recapitalization. We will transfer the money in December to control the work that we done. For membership, we have spent just more than the 100%. I just want to highlight, Chair, that in terms of the membership, the huge membership fees that we pay for South Africa on behalf of the country, it's in January. So we need to make payments to the AU in terms of our membership. What was agreed in terms of the final resolution of self-financing, our commitment is to pay around about $64 million in a period of 5 years. So in our budget, we only had the normal assessment that we need to pay. So one of the requests is check in terms of resolution based on the work that was done by the commission, the former president of Obasanjo was leading the commission, that we can't have liberty in terms of where we generate revenue from to support the work for which Treasury is working on that, which will be to advise us on how to do the augment the increase that is required to cover the shortfall in a period of 5 years, which is currently 64 million in terms of what we need to contribute. So the EU, the UN as well, we need to pay our membership to the UN, which we need to pay, and the strict deadline that we need to meet. And when we receive the assessment contribution, as member states, we should pay within 30 days. This is that is a commitment that we can not honor in terms of the payment. So which then will then create a challenge of us overspending our line of demand. So if we don't pay, we then appear on a whole lot of focus, so which will then accrue interest in terms of what we do. And we will not be able to participate fully in those committees if we are not on our own position. So, Shepard, we then summarize to say, based on the current exchange rate that is prevailing, we have projected that based on the commitment that we have, and we have done everything in our power to contain the expenditure to the budget. These are the other administrations we know that they will be saving, because we have deferred certain programs so that we can be able to address to the president. In terms of the international relations program too, we projected that we have an overspending of 161 million in terms of the commitment that we have. Under international cooperation, 41 million. And under international transfer, it's 106 million. So this 10% is based on the current revenue exchange. So in the when we can sell the exposure of the trade in terms of what we need, especially, and we wouldn't have a challenge in terms of the country in honoring that. So that is the current projected exchange rate loss, 10% of 322 million based on the current exchange rate. And we still have the expenditure for January, February, and March. That is part of the H1, which is in an estimate. So we are hoping that the rand will then improve after the budget fix in terms of that. As we have witnessed that today, the oil, the price, the barrel has improved from $21 to $34, for which we see that there will be some improvement in that area. So this is the calculation that we committed. When we presented our request to National Treasury during September, we projected that the overspending will be less than a billion. So based on the and Treasury allocated additional money through Parliament, 720 million. Cover. So just to explain Shepperton why this huge increase that we require. This is the MTF spending side. Now we are in 2015-16 financial year, which means that the MTF, this figure was then estimated in 2013-14. So the rent to a dollar projected there was that it would be just under 10, 924. So that was the projected estimate to a rent to a dollar. So currently we are speaking about 61 to a dollar. So hence that huge increase. So this part, the way Treasury approached the foreign exchange rate, is that the foreign exchange rate transaction will be adjusted during the adjustment estimate process. So it will not form part of the indicative baseline. It's a one-off adjustment based on the economic conditions. at that particular time. So that is the approach that Treasury is adopting, which we don't have any objection to. So we will then deal with the matter as and when we are in the meeting. But the challenge, Chair, is that after the adjustment is made, the department doesn't have any evidence to mitigate for any depreciation of the rent. So we'll appreciate the chance, the opportunity when the rent has improved. It means that the department will then have space and able to do more projects. But that is managed between the department and the treasury. But in the case of unauthorized expenditure, we don't have any evidence after the adjustment. So, Chair, we're done with the department to allow can then move directly to the African manager. So, Chair, in terms of the RF, our indicators are more of a responsive. During the quarter, the percentage of requests responded to based on the quality assurance and the review of the project proposal. So the target was 100% of requests and seats responded to summary as head of duty of the project plan. So within that, we were two making project proposals in the process to the ARF, which was met, and also within the period, convene one advisory committee meeting to consider projects for recommendations if it meet the requirements to our two ministers, Minister of Industrial Relations, as well as the Minister of Finance. So that's why we then be concurrent in terms of the process. So in terms of democracy and good governance, we then had a disposing talent in terms of our group project, in terms of discussion. The ARM encouraged a very important role in terms of promoting democracy within the region, which is basically Southern. So we then in the process facilitated and initiated two observer missions for Tanzania as well as Asia. So we have then established a process to champion where we receive concurrence for elections within the Southern. But unfortunately, we don't necessarily work within the adopted calendar for the party, because there are circumstances in other countries that require that election that are brought forward. which is basically the appointment of the taken so that it can respond within the authority. And in terms of the socio-economic development, the target was to facilitate 100% of approved dispensers to support social economic development. Chairperson, we have a project in Guinea-Conakry, which we have taken this project for a long time. So we're in the process of handing over this project to the Guinea-Conakry government, but we have not finalized the strategy, which was also interrupted by other processes. So we are currently managing that project, and also the other performance indicator is on the humanitarian assistance. They approved 100% of the disbursement to support the humanitarian system, which we have done that. For Namibia, we are currently implementing the drug relief package for Namibia, so which currently was spent in terms of the spending. 5 million, which will lead to the main seed. The other project that has not moved, honorable chairman, but the water in terms of the boreholes that we are near to be taken in Namibia, which was part of the approval that was received from here in terms of that project. So, in terms of the financial situation with the ARF, we've taken note, Chairperson, that the last time we were not able to see how much money we have here. Currently, we have opening balance of 2.2 billion. So in terms of ARF fund, it retains surplus at the end of the financial year. So the appropriated fund, which we transferred in December, is 145 million, which then improve the money is currently fixing or bank with the South African Bank, so it's earned interest in terms of that. So the edge does not allow us to invest money coming because the money is here for projects. So we then receive interest of 130 million and complete funds in terms of existing projects is 781 million. So, Chairperson, just to highlight on this committee project, so that we follow governance, that if the project is not yet built, funds will not be spent. But we take the commitment from the concurrent that is the issue, because the money is no longer committed, but it has not yet been spent. So that is the type of the commitment that we have. And we also have grants that we approved in 2016-16, which is now waiting for implementation in terms of disbursement, is 51 million. So the accumulated surplus at the end of December 2015 is 1.6 billion. So that is the money that is not yet committed in terms of taking new projects. So we have the liquidity within the AR, so we closed with 2.2 billion. But currently, in terms of what is not committed, which for new projects is 1.16 billion. So these are the approved projects that we, the 2015-16, so there was technical support in the general election to Burundi, which was 38 million. So this money chapter was not defined because of the situation that, political situation in Burundi. So we need to then go back and see how we can deal with that money in terms of making uncommitted. So we are in the process of making recommendations for two ministers so that we make money back. We also approved the 2x2 manuscript, which was destroyed during the unrest in Mali. So if we manage that, we are waiting for the project plan and also the 2x2 medical brigade. In Sierra Leone, we have a normal number of understanding between Cuba, Syria, Sierra Leone, as well as ourselves in terms of how we do that. And also the transportation of the maternal assistance to Madagascar, which we are working with the gift of the giver in terms of implementation. And also the African Capacity Building Foundation, which is the foundation that treasury participates in terms of the foreign exchange rate. So these are the additional money that we seek to augment, because currently the amount that we need to pay for the capacity was for 3 years, which will give 500,000 US dollars. So the money was committed to US dollars. So what we have done is ARS in order to mitigate the currency fluctuation, was that all projects going forward are now committed in hand. Whatever we commit, it will not be affected by any movement of the exchange rate. So we're going to pay a rent equivalent as of the contract rate side. Thank you, Chairperson, for the opportunity.
Thank you very much, Mr. Machau, for a very long and very good presentation. I think that was very good. Your memory, maybe you are the one who drafted the document, was very good. Deputy Minister, welcome once again. Let's welcome back Honorable Shobe, Honorable Dadi. Kavien is not moved out, and Honorable Umlwa. Welcome. Yeah, we were told that you are in the Justice Committee. I think in my welcome remarks, I just omitted, an Honorable Kenya, to tell you, welcome. I omitted to mention two things, and I think for the record, I must apologize that I didn't say anything about it. The first one was the forecast. I was able with some members to attend the forecast summit. And I think we must congratulate the department for the facilitative role it played in this regard, together with the government of South Africa, for hosting all of the African states. It really placed our country in a very high plane, because it was the third focus summit, but the first one to be held in the African soil, and that African soil was South Africa. And then the head of state of China came and made this announcement about the investment they are going to make both in the African continent and in general, and particularly in South Africa. Was quite a very good injection of money for industrialization and other trade engagement. So I want to congratulate the department. The other one that I omitted was the Ubuntu Award. I had the opportunity to attend last year and this year. The occasion, again, was well organized, very prestigious, very vivacious, very official, whatever. But I think it was also good that companies recognized, instead of concentrating on individuals, were recognized for their patriotic corporate citizenship and for doing as well in the African continent and elsewhere in the world. The individuals, the companies, and of course political, diplomatic, cultural, etc. It just serves South Africa. The only weakness which I've raised with the minister yesterday, because I was able to confer with them over something else, was that we don't invite all the members of the committee. I don't think it will cause any damage. My suggestion is that we could invite all the members of the committee. And also certain chairpersons whose committees are affected. It's because one chairperson spoke to me and said, but we are in the trading industry. We should have been there. You see, for these things that were started back in other companies. So we can look at the people that we will always be there, or we must always be invited. But these other persons have a gift. put it in mind. So it will not be too many people. Yeah. Okay, members, the Deputy Minister, let's now go for engagement. And then I will have the first question. Well, let's note the people who want to speak. So, ma'am. Hadebe, are you in? As a second person. Kalian? You want to speak? Yeah, uta la sila. Okay. So far, kung halapa no, no perkman pa kawe. Deputy Minister, are there any comments, any observations, any other thing you want to make? Or you could listen to the comments of the honorable members and then you can come in later. Because you'll be able to hear. Thank you very much.
Yeah. And thanks to the department for the report. As you said, the report is good, but I think there are some aspect that need to be looked at. I'm worried about the Dar es Salaam and the Lilongwe project. You see, in the last quarter of the previous financial year, or actually in the second quarter this year, Dar es Salaam was at 55% completion and Lilongwe was at 74%. And the likelihood, we are now in the fourth quarter. With Lilongwe, the problem was, is projected now as an unfavorable weather. And in the first quarter last year, there was flooding, which is likely to happen again. Meaning that this project will now overlap into the next financial year. This project will now be running in three consecutive financial years. So I wonder whether they were planned for the MTF period. Because if that is, then it seems to be a problem. There was one other project, the Hague, which also had problems. It is not being reflected upon now. And I would like the explanation as to what happened to that particular project. The department is feeling rage with regard to asset management with the Office of the Auditor General. But I thought this report would actually tell us what is being done to ensure that we avoid a negative opinion one's own. Because this department is actually, in the eyes of the world, represents South Africa. Yeah, I think for now, Chair, let me pause. the second round will come in.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll also concur with you and my colleagues that this report is good. It's well written. But I have a problem with page 3 and page 40, of which the investment of FOCAC is not the same. They say that it is $50 billion. And page 14 says 50. The variance of $10 billion is a lot of money. What figure are we dealing with here? What figure are we dealing with here? Because really, I think that a lot of things can be done.
Page 3 and page
14.
Thank you.
And then, number 2, Chairperson, it is very encouraging that we are, all right, the CFO spoke about the change in the international arena on page 4, and they spoke about the improvement in oil prices, and then when I deal with the financials, he commented that now there's an improvement on the oil price. Yeah. I think that improvement is negative for us, because we're the net importer of oil. So what does it take? It as an improvement. Yeah. Because I think on our mind, the deterioration of the situation was going to be exacerbated because of that. Yeah. And then, Chairperson, the third issue, maybe that the deputy side here, because that one is not going to be, it's more political, more than administrative. On the issue of the new development bank, as it has been launched, it is really highly appreciated. It's a good move, and then I think that we put South Africa there on the map. But there's something which has happened politically. You can see that all the countries which are involved in BRICS are being encircled physically and economically. Russia and China are encircled physically, militarily. And then the other countries are encircled, are being encircled economically or financially. That's why, as we speak, Brazil is on this level of infrastructure. They are pushing us to the edge of the cliff. We are already being pushed over the edge of the cliff. I don't know that whether as a team of the ministers which are dealing with this thing, did you do any study or have or did you analyze the situation so that you can mitigate this danger which are coming? Because it means that if China is already no longer even the growth engine of the world now, because that's why we're facing a world recession. Precisely because China is no longer absorbing all the commodities which we are taking before. I don't know, is there any plan we have done on the side of the British Forum to mitigate that? Because what we are actually worrying basically is the Prime Minister of Russia, what he said last week. When he said that we are approaching the stage of the Second Cold War, with what's continuing in Syria and what's continuing around the world. So, if an Arab members are at that stage, where are we as a country? Because you know what, there's one thing she did for us movement has all these years, is that she was able to create crop anywhere in the world. It can be east, west, whatever, it was there. But sometimes we don't need to provide every answer here, but did you really look at this thing? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honourable Kalyan.
Thank you, sir. I just indicate that I would have to leave for the next meeting at the 11. I would like to pose my questions and request that the Secretary communicate to the Consulate in writing. The report was saying about communicating in simple and easy to understand terminology, and so that's appreciated for someone who doesn't understand figures all that well. Given that we are in danger of exceeding the budget, I'd like to know what alternative measures that the department is planning to put in place, because the ever erratic land value is a problem that is going to be there, not going to go away. And instead of always saying that we have to be accommodated by that factor, but that is an unknown factor. What austerity measures is the department planning to put in place? The CFO says that safety, the money is approved in the association, but safety has not given you the money, and you are asking for overdraft facilities in order to run it. But I mean, what is that impact, and what is the reason that safety is not releasing the money to you? I didn't get that. And then my third question is, under what section of the administration 1234 does the Pan-African Parliament fall under? And in the last sitting of the Pan-African Parliament, which was in October last year, and I don't know if it falls into this presentation you've made, the president of the Pan-African Parliament refused to stay in a house that was provided for him because he wants the public work to deliver. And then therefore put him up in a hotel, and he refused to stay in that hotel, and told to go and stay somewhere else because his entourage was 3 months long, where Zelko said him and three people. Then also, what was alarming was Zelko provided 2 plus Mercedes then to the president of the Pan-African Parliament. He refused to do this because he wanted an extra. So I want to know, and this was a big frustration for your people at the Pan-African Parliament. I forget the gentleman's name, the transfer they get for David, but he's disgusted it. He has a little thing that the committee doesn't know about. But the president of the Pan-African Parliament is creating for himself a little empire. And running up costs. And I want to know if Jerko is putting on his bits or whether it is coming out of the AU house. Thank you. I would have to excuse myself, but I will keep it.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Honorable Kalia. Hello.
Thank you very much, Chair President. You seem to be the lucky man because you always get invited to this thing. We were not invited for the full campaign. However, I need to appreciate the fact that we were invited for the Ubuntu Awards. And unfortunately, we could not attend, but we'll make an effort in the next year. Deputy Minister. It's always good to have you here. I think the first question that I'll pose will be directly towards yourself. You recall the last time we had an interaction with you, Deputy Minister, we discussed the issue of the conduct of our diplomats, and you undertook to come back and just debrief us on what steps have been taken. I know that the Foreign Service Bill has now been tabled in Parliament, which will regulate some of the problems, but currently there were issues that were still there pending about some diplomats who were misbehaving. If you've got any feedback on that. And just currently this year, there was an incident in Norway, in Oslo, involving one of the senior diplomats in a drunk driving case. What is the status of that case, and what happened to the said diplomat? Because the state attorneys has recommended disciplinary steps. What happened? Did we waive the diplomatic immunity of the said diplomat, or has he been recalled or suspended? What is the case? What is the status quo currently with the diplomat? Then the questions to the CFO. A great presentation, CFO. The issue of the security vetting of 77 investigations. Do you know how many in the missions and how many in the head office out of the 77? Because of it goes to the same question that I asked the Deputy Minister about the conduct of our diplomats and foreign service staff. Goes towards the issue of vetting and ensuring security clearance. How many do we have we done for the missions in particular? I'm interested in the missions as well. Then in terms of the structured bilateral mechanisms, do we know in, I know that we have put in here the areas of interest that we have engaged, but do we know in terms of foreign direct investment, how much value have we extracted out of this bilateral engagement, both high level and structured, apart from the areas of interest that we have engaged upon? And lastly, on the issue of tourism, was there a engagement in terms of the impact on the visa regulations? And if there was, what were the discussions about, and did you discuss with our counterparts in Home Affairs in terms of the impact of the visa regulations on tourism diplomacy? Thank you very much, and let me pause there.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kala. Honorable Shope.
Yeah, well, yeah, well, I attended a meeting and I didn't get a full presentation from the Singapore, and you forgive me for it. And I also agree with you from the beginning when you said, no, we must get this presentation before, in time, in order for us to engage with the presentation before we come to a committee. So, yeah, I'm also supporting what you said from the beginning of the meeting. You know, it's very interesting to get this document beforehand, because now I can't engage fully, because when I went to the Chief Whip Forum, I missed a lot from the presentation from the CEO, from the CFO. Nevertheless, there are things here that some of us, we are hearing them from the media. And we are hoping that maybe when we are meeting with the department, it will be form part and parcel of the report in one way or another. I agree with the Honorable Mkhabo when he's raising some of the things with the Deputy Minister. If you remember very well, last time, it was not the Deputy Minister took the decision here today. It was the other one, Louis. Yeah, Landers. We raised sharply the issue of the Denmark, the embassy, the ambassador to Denmark, because it was all over the newspaper, and then we didn't get a clear report from the department. And then we'd like to make a follow-up on that one, which was the status quo. Do we have an ambassador now, or we don't have? Because we didn't get that report, this one. When I came into the room, I have heard the CFO speaking about our participation in the UN. So my question arrives, Chen. I also think that is very relevant to this department as well, because there are those things, those rumors that you want to put up from the ICC. I think International Relations Department also have to take us through as a committee, which how far are we as the country, because I've heard about other countries, like I think it's Kenya, if I'm not mistaken, they've already pronounced. And I'm not against, I must make it very clear, but I think as members of this committee, we must also get that kind of information as a country, which what is the status quo regarding the ICC. Going to the presentation, page 43, just the letter of clarity, Chair. The African Capacity Building Foundation, I heard the CFO talking that we are participating to this foundation through our treasurer. If we can get more clarity in order for the committee members also to have a better understanding. Also, this project, Q-Ben Medical Brigade in Sierra Leone. Yeah, the chief of the committee is trying to explain to me, but I think it will be beneficial for the whole committee just to get a more understanding, because I know that we have our own kids in Cuba who are doing those medical training there, but if there is a Sierra Leone, I'm not even sure what is that. Thank you, Chair. Oh, also, that thing of that you read earlier on, that the committee does not get invited. I was also worried. I thought maybe some of us were less members in this committee. Yeah, we are not important because you just see this thing on TV and then you come to say, I'm the member of the committee, but you are not even invited. So you think, oh, we are useless. Maybe your contribution is not worth it. But thank you, 20%, because we just raised it for all of us. And the department also said we have participated on Paris Agreement on climate change. I don't know if the committee was participating, because I remember very well through the TGIR, I was invited. That's how I came to know about this climate change. And as a result, we have sent one letter as EFF. But as a committee, I just want to encourage you to say, how do we get such invitation? Or it's different when it comes to overseas trip. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Akma.
Thank you, Chair. Just on page 3, I spoke at the strategic planning workshop about our flirting with certain countries. So I just want to, again, with regard to the investment, now we're that we've got the right audience here, is just understand what's in it for us in the 10 billion investment. I mean, I understand it's 60 billion in infrastructural investment. What is China expecting from us? Nothing for nothing. And I think we've learned that costly mistake over the years or decades, or that nothing is for nothing. And somewhere along the line, I know that there's been a lot of huge developments that's going to be taking place in Morrison Bay, et cetera, et cetera. I think we as a committee need to understand what's expected from our side, the role that we'll play in order to get to the 10 billion for now, and the continent getting the 60 billion. In terms of rand fluctuations and major currency fluctuations, I spoke again about the fact of trying to mitigate the circumstance, and I think nothing works better than trying to understand the circumstances that would make our rand weaker. And Treasury, to a large extent, usually does understand. They usually have quite a fair forecast on what would happen unless you change any minister, any states. There's a fair traction on what would mitigate the risk in the rand fluctuation. Is it possible that we would then engage far more closely with Treasury in terms of trying to understand what the focus in the year, what our rand fluctuation risk might be? In terms of international relations, I've often said that it's not the meetings that we do have, it's the meetings I think that we don't have, which should also be an indicator. And I'm sure there's been countries that knock on our door that we haven't been able to engage. And the reason might be political, the reason might be the diaries don't meet. Is there a way of reporting to us what meetings have been requested that we haven't been able to honour, or meetings that that just haven't taken place on our side? But it's important for me to understand, especially when you look at the Chamber of Commerce engagement, when you're coming into a period preceding the SONA and preceding the budget debate, possibly the most important focus that us as DERCO could have is commercial engagement. And I know that the President was quite big in taking on commercial engagement in the last few weeks, and I think DERCO, to a large extent, on a bigger platform can assist in terms of their commercial engagement. So when you're looking at the Chamber of Commerce engagement, the decrease in, or the under-engagement, it would be interesting to note why, or if it can be that from here on out we almost take the programs of DERCO and we see how best or who's best, which departments to engage with at those times. And then just finally on the key performance areas, we speak, under financial management, one of the weakest areas is the payment of suppliers. Now, one of our best indicators was the fact that we've been paying our suppliers within 30 days 100% of the time. So which part do we rely on? Do we rely on the fact that we've reported that we pay our suppliers on 100% of the time, or do we rely on the fact that we actually don't rely, we can't effectively rely on our financial management according to our own self-assessment on our payment of suppliers? And yeah, that's it from our side. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Mr. Ramatang, for your presentation. You know, the chairperson, when you started, the chairperson had two things, two some remarks, and he was very concerned about two presentations. And I think in future, to alleviate and leave some uncertainty and a smart way of working, if you can just date them, because I'm still a little bit confused. Just the same as draft, first draft, second draft, when was it documented on the future. And then as I also said that the way how we take care of our environment, especially we international leaders, I think this is a protracted signature. Having piles and piles of precipitation, we are not really careful on how we use, our environment. But good work must be commented, especially on the administration. On the performance, the performance. But I just wanted to check on the disciplinary program number one admin. On the issues of disciplinary hearings, we must also get some narrative report that who was disciplined on what and where. And at the end, I don't know whether we have a narrative report about it. We just get that one disciplinary hearing in there. And there is some little bit confusion on the issue of payment of suppliers. You pay your suppliers but in 30 days time, but when you go there at the back where they spot you, management performance assessment, they gave you two. And two, it warrants some intervention. My management skills when I was a manager, two warrants really some intervention. So why 100% that side, now this side two? This side three, one, two. And even management of diversity. I think that the DG, the black person, and coming to diversity, we really good in management diversity. So what kind of a diversity are we really not managing? It is a problem. So we want to know how should you manage that diversity on the human resource. And on page 23, on program 4, the public diplomacy, the variance of minus 43.5 is a worrying factor. For 15 years as a member of the committee, I'm just asking myself that what interventions are we going to do, especially with this minus 43.5%. However, some of your presentation was very excellent. And also on asset management, if you come with interventions, can we really get some report on that? Because we really don't want to see ourselves on the same kind of challenges that we have encountered. I thank you.
Thank you, Sebastian. Thank you for the presentation. I think my first question will be, it's an addition to Honorable Miley's question on the issue of the construction of content of the Jerusalem. On page 6, it is said that the delay on the progression is due to waiting clearance at Port of India. But on page 26, the project is behind schedule due to difficulties contracted regarding the advance payment during any stage of the project. Now, we have two signals here. I don't know whether I'm getting it correctly. My question is that, is it because of the export of interest for the deal with the contractor that makes this delay not to meet the target? And secondly, what measures are there in place to solve the problem or to counteract this delay? And also, looking at the assessment and scoring of four management areas, talking to compliance level 4, which is green, and to my understanding, when you see a green block, you think that maybe that there is an improvement somewhere, or it's perfect. But my question also, I think also relates to the same project. Why are these outstanding invoices in these two projects? Why are there outstanding invoices in these two projects? The Dar es Salaam and the Longwood. Again, my question is on the BRICS call-up on Program 3, New Development Bank. The launch of its inaugural project beginning 2016. Now you ask yourself, if we say at the beginning of 2016, this is already the beginning of 2016, maybe the report has changed prior. As you said that South Africa International Center, when is the launch of this project? I think that is my last question. Thank you, sir.
I offer myself just a few comments and questions. In the last page of the ARS, and I would imagine that the ARS funds are used as the DG one that is soft up. I see that we provided the number 15 and 16 technical support of the third general elections of Burundi. 38 billion or 38,000? Yeah, let me just bring the politics of it. I know that we promote good governance and democracy, observance of human rights, and all of these things within the African continent. Now, in an instance where the president of a country goes for a third term against the constitution of the country, or at least the AU does not give, the AU is uneasy about the way things are done in a particular country in terms of the president going for certain elections. So let me make myself clear. If the constitution of the country says there's no limited term of office, I have no problem. If the constitution of the country, as a sovereign state, says they can go for third and fourth and fifth term, personally, I have no problem. But if the president, who is a sitting president, changes the constitution during his or her term of office to suit himself, I have a problem. Or we have a problem. Now, as a country, do we still support elections like that? On the one hand, we sit in the AU, on the other, we sit in SADC. Then on the other, we go to a country like that, then we assist. What are we assisting? I think, if political point, in this instance, I just think that the president of Burundi, he fights the AU, you see, as a member state. And secondly, divide the AU again in terms of the implement of the peace mission. So, I just thought I must say something around that. And then the other one, just to join Umaila, we department. Are you listening? Are you listening, department? We had a very intense discussion with the DG about the second of body's opinion that was there, which was negative. So, and we advise that, depending on the thing that led to the qualification, the department must have voted them early in the financial year, so that by the time these things are done, we are able to avoid that. Because we think the political and diplomatic work that the department is doing is good, but this may just be a blot in the... And then the other is the on page 7. It says that you produced a research paper on the Chinese economic downturn and its implications for South Africa. I hope it's also for the world. We want to request that paper, if it can be presented to us. You can even invite other committees, the GTI and others, just to educate us how the collapse of, or the slump of the commodity exchange in China have affected South Africa, Africa, and the world. I think in terms of economic diplomacy, it would be good for us. The issue about the Pan-African Parliament, I don't know who's going to guide us, because we have members who are sitting in the Pan-African Parliament, like Honorable Kali and Honorable Kenya, are you sitting there? Did you replace Comrade Pal? They're sitting there. Remember, now, we've never called for formal report, and whether we can discuss the whatever is obtaining in the Pan-African Parliament. Now, the way it has come, the Deputy Minister may be able to answer or may not be able to answer, but the rest of us are in a dark. Now, I need an advice, because the other way of handling it, and I'm just thinking aloud, could be that we could put it as an agenda item, and those who are sitting there, they lead discussions into this, and the department can also input, then we can engage, if it is our call. Because we sit in different, I sit for instance in the parliamentary forum, and if we take that route for this one, it also means that for all of these elections that I attend, or even those that have not attended in the party panel, we must report to the committee from time to time. Something like that. But about these shenanigans, at other levels, I do hear about that there is going to be a recolonization, or not really, the colonization of the Pan-African Parliament through certain countries. The last one is, and it's also good for the Deputy Minister. I see that there is a committee, I'm sorry, with you, please, but the committees of the United Nations. The other one is political and decolonization. If you remember that page, but the committee, one of the committees, I'm just wondering whether we are sitting in a committee like that of the UNGA. And what do you mean by political and decolonization? They're not for this crime. But to the extent that I remember, a country that is still decolonized in Africa is the Western Sahara. And whether when we sit there as South Africa or as the African continent, we are raising this matter, and what is being said about it, does it mean that they continue to battle this matter in the Security Council? It is a matter that we have had to, or we have to raise in the same way that we must discuss the issue of the Middle East, the issue of Cuba, the issue of Palestine, as well as the Western Sahara. Yeah. Now, I agree with your request, Deputy Minister, that you want to make some comments first before the opposition.
No, thank you very much, Chair. Or do I need to put this on? Thank you very much, Chairperson, and the committee. Now, I want to start by saying, Chair, I will try and answer questions that are not related to the finance, and CFO will answer all other questions. And I must say this committee is lucky, because I was supposed to go to the SOT committee, and then it was early, so I started here for a few minutes. I ended up being caught up here. So I would ask to be excused after my comments, because they are waiting for me already. The first question, Chair, I want to respond to, I think it's a very important question on the China, the National Development Bank, and what, I mean, have we, with the current situation, have we looked at the implications? It's very difficult. But these are global policies. We part of the global community. It is clear that China, Russia, Brazil, even India to some extent are in a particular position. Now, others might be affected financially. Others are affected politically. Now, I think for us, the question is, to what extent is BRICS important? And I would say openly, without any hesitation, that BRICS is important to South Africa. Some of the challenges that we see covered largely by the media, it's a result of, in global politics, there are honest brokers and there are other brokers that scream loudly and get into a particular area because they have a motive of taking to the minerals of different countries. Now, we had a situation where Russia, which we worked with very closely, and Iran, which we worked with very closely. I think we need to put Iran in this equation also. Where they are involved in the Middle East war. But their involvement, if you remember, they got involved after a long time being spectators where the countries in the West and NATO went into Syria with a sole agenda, not fighting ISIS, with a sole agenda of regime change. A very, very undemocratic practice, something that happened to Iraq, Saddam Hussein, where outsiders come and assist in the name of assisting, but in fact they want to change the democratically elected president by force. So China and Iran started getting into that conflict as honest brokers, saying we want to assist here Syria democracy and make sure we create peace between the Syrians. There's the government, there's an opposition in Syria. Both of them are talking to now Russia, Iran, that is there. Because what happened? Those countries, including NATO as their force, that went to the Middle East, Syria in particular, it was clear in the middle of whatever was happening there that, in fact, instead of fighting against terrorism, which the whole world is saying America fight against terrorism, and they are going there to assist. In fact, they were assisting terrorists more than assisting the regime or the Syrians. So what is happening now, you see the situation in Syria getting better. And everybody now, which is the intervention that Russia made in particular, everybody is beginning to say, let's come to the table. Let's negotiate. Let's find a way of a peaceful resolution to this, because they've been hit hard. They've been pushed back from where they were, and they were thinking it's just a matter of time before they capture the president there and take the president to Hague for whatever reason. And you're talking to the embassy of Syria and lots of other people. It would have been the same thing that happened in Iran. It would be the same thing that happened in Libya, where forces from inside come in and under the pretext of assisting and end up leaving the country completely and worse than it was before. So what is it going to do to us? I think we have two friends of many, many years in the countries in BRICS. Financially, yes, we might be experiencing problems, but there wouldn't be problems that would really be destructive to South Africa if we were not part of BRICS. We're talking now about 10 billion that China offered, but also we're talking about the development bank that not only we have the regional arm of that, there's one that is in China, there's one that is in Russia, that we would be able, instead of whenever we want to borrow money, we will think of the development bank, we would be able to go to people whose interest would be to develop the country more than to squeeze the country with high interest rates so that you can owe them forever. That is my answer as far as that. It's really part of global politics. And at times, not only our relationship, I think we also need to look at our relationship much, much broader than finance. Because part of these relationships are created so that when we are in these big multilaterals and there's a key decision to be taken, we are able to have people that we discuss with when it comes. Because you remember in the Security Council, even if it's one member amongst those five, is able to vote to veto a decision. Now, since our relationship and as BRICS, because we discuss together, because we expect when we go to those platforms, we interact, if there's something that we don't like, one of those members will veto that decision, so a decision will not be taken. So it's as broad as that. That is on first question. I think on the question of austerity measures, I'm sure the CFO will speak to this. But I just wanted to make a comment that you see most of our expenditure is cut out. There's nothing you can do about it. That is the mission that we have. If we're talking about austerities, that would say we must cut our mission. We need to look very seriously at the implication of cutting missions. Because remember, we also have the economic diplomacy that also invest in those countries and get money in those countries. So if you don't have a mission, the flu is, you know, you don't take my country serious. Why should I invest or engage with you? That and paying fees to the
multilaterals and other bodies that we belong to, like, you know, AU and that. There's something that you cannot change any time. But I agree, there's a lot that we can cut as austerity measures. There's a list that Treasury gave. Already we know that we need to even cut the size of those who are traveling with the politician to different countries. We need to cut the size of the luxury, including what, you know, Honorable Haile was talking about. I think, but I'm sure Steph is going to attend to that. I think all of us are asked to tighten our belt. If people come or bodies come to South Africa and South Africa is putting gear, we must make them accept what they are given. Because equally, they need to tighten the belt. That's my view. We haven't discussed it, but it's common sense. If we tighten the belt, those people that we're hosting in the country must also tighten the belt. And I understand you can't give them a small pot bottle that is dangerous for them, but definitely we need to cut the frills and the luxury and give them what is basic for them to be hosted decently in South Africa. There was a question about the Norway, the Fiji, and I'm sure conduct of our, which is a question I raised last time, conduct of our other ambassadors. I think those two issues were attended to. The ambassador was recalled, and then she's no longer an ambassador in Japan. I assume we're talking about that. And other issues, other areas, subject, maybe CFO can comment on that. The DG takes responsibility. It's an administrative matter. When ambassador commits something, then the DG and the department from the desk to the DG, they take action. It's really the reason why at times it comes to us and we have to answer. It's because it makes headlines and then we get embarrassed, we must go there and apologize, whatever. But it is a responsibility of the DG because it's an administrative issue. So the question of Norway and Fiji, Norway in particular, I'm sure it's a process that DG is also handling. Unfortunately, the Fiji, you'll remember the ambassador who had an accident and killed somebody there. Unfortunately, he died 2 weeks ago. So, yes, he died 2 weeks ago. So, I think it just ends the case. And I'm sure it was a natural death. The visa again, yes, we spoke to the minister responsible for visas because we're getting a lot of complaints as well. Hence, eventually you saw a committee being formed, the tourism minister being very strong on that, a committee being formed to look at that whole thing. So we're part of sort of talking to him too. There was a question, what is for us in the 10 billion that was contributed by China in FOCA? I think there's a lot. I think China is one of the countries that are investing in South Africa in different ways, including skills development. China is taking many students after tertiary students to their country train them at their cost and everything. But even in investment, I'm just mentioning that, in investment, we have a strong relationship. We have a strong relationship with China. That is besides our bilaterals and us being part of BRICS. This 10 billion is the 10 billion that is part of the huge amount that they gave to the continent. You remember FOCA is about the Forum of China and Africa. What they are doing to South Africa as the gateway to Africa. Now, this 10 billion, out of that, was it 50 or 90? 60 billion. Out of that 60 billion, 10 billion was allocated to South Africa for a program that we want to do in South Africa. And the other 40 generally for the continent or for Africa. Now, I think the question that is saying there's nothing for nothing. Of course, there's nothing for nothing. And it depends, for me, it depends on the strength of the bilateral that you have with that country. There's not a single country that wants to have a relationship with South Africa and wants nothing from South Africa. Just like we will not have, we will not go to a country without having an interest in something. So I'm saying what is for us is, would be the strength of our negotiations in what we do with that 10 million and what the 10 billion, sorry, and what they benefit. And I'm convinced that with the challenges we experience in all the bilaterals that we go around having in the countries, most people want to come to South Africa. Most people want to come to South Africa. Our constitution and the freedom that we have, that we're happy with, is also creating that much interest. And some of them are not investors. Some of them are people who want to come to South Africa because South Africa is free. South Africa is non-sexist. South Africa doesn't discriminate against gays and lesbians. So when people like that want to come to South Africa, some of them are big business people. They invest in South Africa. And then they become partners of some of the South African business. So, but all I'm saying is it depends on the negotiating skills and the strength of those that are negotiating and the outcome of the bilateral that you have with a particular country. There was a question which I think is my... Oh, there was a question which is not the last one. A question about countries that want meetings and don't get meetings. There will be very few countries that want meeting and not get meeting, because we sort of allocate. I work in the Middle East and East Asia. They have their ambassadors here in the country. There is no way, unless the ambassador of that particular country is failing, there is no way that if a country wants to see a South African representative, that we won't see or will close the door. Because there are protocols around those things. They send a note to us. And even countries that don't necessarily have bilaterals, still they can, you know, write and say, we want to see, like a courtesy call, we want to see a minister or a deputy minister. Now, I think the Honorable Member is talking about Chamber of Commerce, if I'm not mistaken. No. Okay. Maybe she can...
Sorry, through you, can I...
Clarify that.
Clarify. Sorry, Deputy Minister, what I'm saying in terms of, and you've answered it to a point, if there are any countries that have tried to knock on our door, and if there are, I mean, if there aren't, then the answer is at the front page.
No, you see, there would be countries that maybe we haven't gone to, those countries. And not that we're not going, but you know, they are part of the queue, long queue that wants South Africa to go there. There would be countries are divided into different scales. There would be countries that have a bilateral with the senior officials and DGs, and then they slowly graduate into deputy minister, deputy president. So, but we try by all means. In fact, our policy is saying we make peace with everybody at different levels. So we, even if they are, we'll soon go to them. Okay. Chairman, I'm going to answer two questions. One is about what you ask about the parliament. I think you're right. Ten Africanist parliament. Yeah. Ten African parliament is a sort of parliament of all parliament. I mean, we have representative of all parliaments there. And therefore, our parliament is supposed to be getting reports. Our parliament is supposed to be getting reports. And these reports, some of them, like the one we received today, then the portfolio committee channels to whoever is paying, DECO, Treasury, or any other department that is paying the money. It would have much more weight, I think, if it's the report from the portfolio committee saying this is what is happening, and maybe even giving suggestions. So I agree with you. I don't think DECO, for instance, I think the officials will interact with PAP, but DECO is not represented in PAP. So we wouldn't know in detail what is happening there. So I agree that maybe there should be a report coming to the portfolio committee. The question of Burundi. The question of Burundi. It's a difficult one. It's a difficult one. Because also, there are different narratives about Burundi. The president is sort of standing in a position that has been agreed by his constitutional court, if you remember. Yes. Yes. His constitutional court agreed that this is the second term effectively, because the first term was an interim arrangement where he was put as a peacemaker after the war, elected by parliament, not election, elected by parliament. If you were to take somebody as parliament and say, be the president, that was the first term. Now, his second term, the first time he was elected by the masses of Burundi, he interprets that as the first term. Equally so, the constitutional court interprets that as the first time. So, if you look at it in that light. It is his second time. It is his second time. Now, I'm saying that because at some stage I was part of the negotiations where we were saying, for peace sake, maybe we need to do things different. But you know, the reality is, the most people who are very much troubled by what is happening in Burundi are not even the region that Burundi belongs to. It's America. There's a narrative that comes straight everywhere. The meeting, I am talking about the personal experience. The meeting we had in Tanzania with the region and the AU, you remember when the president was called to go to that meeting, we were going to meet with the president, Burundi president. And then whilst we were there, there was this message that there is a coup in Burundi and the president is not going to be able to go back and all that, which disrupted our meeting. Because immediately when that, and that was being circulated by the security woman from United States. Where she got the news, we don't know. But it disrupted our meeting because now the president of Burundi had to leave the meeting and thinking this was a trap of bringing him to Tanzania so that a coup can be made because he was still a president. And other president of Uganda, of Rwanda, had to go also. So it disrupted a meeting. But I think all I'm saying is at times there are things that seem to be real because there's so much being said in the media about the issue, and when it's reality, once you go and try and find the reality, you realize that it's not what it says. Yes, there are challenges in Burundi because the opposition is still there. The opposition is still the third time. The fact that the constitution is saying it's a second term is neither here nor there because they have a support from outside the country, in particular in America. So it's a question at some stage, AU deliberated on this. South Africa wouldn't release funds until AU addressed. So at some stage, AU deliberated and agreed that there needs to, I mean, this is the second term, not the second. I think that, I can't remember what was the question on Western Sahara.
The Political and Decolonization Committee of UNGA, and whether South Africa is has not in care about the need for the decolonization of Western Sahara and what strides are making there. Remember, at the Ubuntu Award, Catherine, who was with me and Comrade K in Western Sahara, actually received an award on the youth diplomacy. You can?
Well, in those can. Committees, Chair, whoever is our representative would be speaking on behalf of what South Africa say. For instance, the question of West Sahara, I'm sure the whole world know, and in bilaterals we talk about the need for Western Sahara to be free. At times the difficulties become when it's those kinds of countries that are colonizing West Sahara, like Morocco, who's part of Africa. And now you start getting situations like Palestine, where even within those committees or the Security Council, people have vested interest in those big countries, so they are not able to say upright, Morocco, you shall do this, or Israel, you shall do this. But I think it's work in progress, and I'm sure in those committees, definitely our representatives speak what they are mandated by South Africa.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. I've got with your permission, I can request the issue director for HR to talk to the issue of discipline.
Oh.
It's a matter.
My name is Masha Mashao. I'm the Chief Director, Human Resources Management and Development. I would answer three questions that have been asked. The first one is on Norway. The status is that the diplomat involved was called to come back to South Africa, and there is an investigation underway. And once that has been concluded, he'll be taken through the discharge procedure. In respect of the second question on the visiting of missions, officials, the 27 numbers is about all the target officials. In other words, it's the people who are in the missions and not at the head office. And the last one was on the information on disciplinary cases that we have concluded in the last quarter. As a request that there should be more details to be noted, and we'll ensure that we give more details to the committee in our next report. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll start with the issue of application, Chair. Just that we didn't put it on the board, on the asset aspect. We've taken the guidance from the committee. It's one of the projects that we take it very seriously. In terms of the work that we do. I thought I had a formal presentation here to put in the board, but we will then give a report later in terms of what where we are in terms of this management. I'd also give an oral report, Chairperson, that the assets, what we did was that we have increased the monitoring. So what we have done after we received the qualification, we then introduce a task team, which is made by chief director and chief head of, that manages the administrative work as well as mission, to come up with a project plan and to be monitored. What we have done here, when we look at the root cause of our problems, was based on the fact that the system that we were using was not fully integrated. So the problem that we encountered was that the barcoding of the assets was not uniform. We find that the barcoding of the asset is put on the right, and another they put it on the left, and another they put it on the right. If now they were not able to find the barcoding of that asset, they would put another one, which then created a problem. Say you then acquire an asset because you put the barcode, which now the problem that we then encounter in terms of the audit existed. Okay, the records that from the system, when they draw the sample and go to ignition to look on the floor, they don't find that asset. which become a problem of non-existence. So what we have done in Chairperson, because we're using different systems, we had acquired a system in 2014 when we procured our ICT equipment. So we had an application that tracks the computer in terms of that one. So we're then now expanding that scope to then migrate all the assets from the system that we're using for HardCare. The system that we're currently now migrating to is the Nature system. We have already migrated all the assets to the Nature system. So what we've done in addition to check was that we request mission to do what we call physical asset verification. So when we migrate, we then request all missions to submit their asset physical verification, a hard copy, which was requested that in end of September. This we have received. There were only 12 missions that we still outstanding, Chairperson, in terms of the asset verification. We then introduced a team from our official service who were not involved with the management of assets, so that we then get a quality assurance of the products that we then have available. So we have around about 20 officials that are working as part of the cleanup of the assets, which means that we are removing the additional barcode that was then put to the asset without necessarily acquiring new assets. So that is the part that we are busy with. We have then engaged with the Auditor General. They've done their interim audit. They can, their report showing that in terms of completeness, specifically last audit, the two issues that are problematic was the completeness, which means that there were assets which were on the floor, but there were not other assets. So which means that there was a delay in terms of our processes of how we then dispose the assets, how we retire the assets. That the approval was sought for purposes. When the approval is received, the mission will then take that as an empty school. But why do you still see the asset? Because we say that's the part that we then invested more time to say you can only dispose the asset utilizing the system that you've approved. If you use an option, the option will dispose of it if you finalize. When it's removed from the asset register, it must not be on the floor. So that is the part that we are monitoring, which was saying, we believe that with a new system, which is more online, so when anyone scans the asset on the floor, which gives us additional control, we then have the barcode, which we design and our labeling from the department, but in terms of the computers and all that, we then have a serial number, so which now we have two controls, that if the barcode is lost or fallen off, you still have the additional control. So that is the part that we think we are able to manage that.
I recommend you to go and pull the observations that were made by the Office of the Auditor General on why they gave you a qualification on that. And the witnesses they think they wanted you to attend to. That's the first thing. Then you would remember that we scored at, reprimanded the department last year for this, because it was 2013 and 2014 and 2015. We said, look, for this kind of work is good, but administratively this is a flawed. Attend to it. And we said, if you don't attend to it, you're going to get another one. Now, try to pull those Ulawa loans. You can also ask them. If you have letters, get up and look at them item by item about things that must be attended to. Give them to the DG and get people or get your ambassadors in the nation and say, you see, this is how these things must be attended to. Very intensely and expeditiously. So that if and when the Office of the AG sends anybody anyway, because if we asked them, they said, no, we're assembling. We'll just send people to the European branch or to the America or to Italy. And then if they find that in those nations, these things that you are saying that must be done are not done, you won't have a chance. Even if you have attended to that chamber in the African France, that might be the problem. So I don't seem to note that you remember item by item about things that we say must be attended to. Okay. Then again, when you are ready, you can give us progress report.
Because your success is our success anyway. Also, now you want to assist.
Thank you very much. I just to add more to what the chairperson has just said, the department has received a report, a BRR report from the committee, which they are supposed to be responding to by end of February. So all those issues which were raised by the auditor and others have formed part and parcel of the recommendation from the committee, and that report is due end of February from the department. Their response to the recommendations that we made, including progress on what they have done so far with regard to those issues which were raised by the committee and also by the AG.
Yeah, no, Chair, the only one that is still not yet resolved, if you recall, Chair, there was a finding on the department not recognizing the Heritage Act. We have not resolved that aspect. We have went to the South African Heritage Council agency. So we are still in negotiation with Treasury and what touch there for now. So we are still abstaining. So we are hoping that by tomorrow when Treasury today, when they issue the new summit, we'll be able to then engage and understand how whether they take in our recommendations in terms of considering our situation. So that is the matter that we still need to discuss with National Treasury at the AG.
And
I think just to also confirm on the ARF, the question that the person asked about the 38 million. In 2% that was the request that he received at the ARF before the situation in Burundi. So the money was not released. So he still received it. So no money left our account to facilitate the election. So the election that they held was without our support. Yes, this was approved. We have not received concurrence before we understand the dynamics in terms of the election. So no money was dispensed. Chairperson, if we can go back to the issue of Dar es Salaam and the Lilongwe, these were a 36-month project that we embarked on. So, Chairperson, in terms of the Dar es Salaam, the delay initially we had to do the contractor in terms of starting the project. So the project, in terms of the agreement that was signed, these are old projects, Chairperson, that were introduced in 2007. So in terms of the implementation, we only done in the last 2 years. So the contractor, the contract that we signed, required that there was money that was supposed to pay the contract, 20 million basically, to the contract, US dollar, upfront, for that to, so which delayed the commencement of that project. So we managed to then address the, in the last, in November, because they were saying, they will walk away from the project. Because there are penalties in the contract that we signed in the contract. So we are confident that by June this contract will be So these are the money in terms of the, that we redirected to fund the AU fund as well as FOCA. So we managed to look at the project next to, and then we then acted to say we have money that we were able to spend, which we then consulted the national treasurer and given up the money. So in the 2016-17, we then want to revise our projection for that project so that it can be completed. So with regard to the Hague chairperson, indeed we experienced disputes. So the dispute between us and the contractor is not yet resolved. So that's the part that we manage to say how do we we appointed a lawyer to advise us. The advice that we received was that we must then go and litigate outside the court. And he said, no, we will not be able to take that option because we will be in a position that is weak in terms of what, because we have already started the project. Because this was the building that we were going to use, the new building, it was a renovation. We do that, we can damage that we have the project, the property, which we then need to look to a property lawyer, which we are engaging in terms of how we resolve the issue. But the main issue was that the project, as I indicated, were approved long term in 2007. And in 2007, the economic conditions were not stronger. So bigger companies, they were willing to take whatever the problem was. So now, because they had the market has improved, so they've got more jobs, so they wanted to walk away from the project and to do much higher project and dedicating resources to a project which was, in their view, a smaller. So that's the challenge that we are working around. So we are busy working with the mission to guide us with the group and then assist us to understand the evidence that is utilized. Because they don't want the good court, they want us to set it, which will benefit them for it. So that is the situation regarding the project. Chairperson, with regard to the austerity measures, I think you've seen that there's a court case that is going on in the department regarding officials in our mission in New York. It's precisely the measures that we've taken in the department to say, if we then have a foreign service distribution, which provides within the mission, that's for the benefit of the members, that the education situation in New York, the permanent mission, was based on the fact that there were major distribution, which was a deviation from the government policy to say, as we are serving as a non-permanent member of the union, now we work long hours, so it is not going to be good for the officials, but the school-going children to be staying far away from the union. So, some direction was given. He says, when we move out from the UN, so when we need to then move out from the UN, that privilege will then go away, so that people should then implement it. So, based on the past, he then says, in 2014, we advise you to say you need to make a decision that you take your kids to school, because the USA is an English speaking country, which we have implemented already to the Consul General. So the mission in New York, they open in one building. There is the official that works for the consulate and the official that works for the permanent mission. So the permanent mission, the consulate, they've already implemented. They all look for residents away from Manhattan, which is working well. So when we took the decision, the other officials within the mission, they took that directive very well. They want to look for accommodation. But they were only for officials who then said, no, they are going to implement the decision. So that is the situation. As part of the cost containment measures, we are reviewing our norm in terms of cooling, in terms of accommodation, in terms of the cars that the ambassador has. So we are implementing those as part of the hospital's measure to say we should then reduce. So all of us have, when we travel, during the consultation, we travel for this. We don't know what's happening to this man. It's that process. They were not happy with that arrangement, but they have been implementing for 2 years adding in terms of that process. So the only time when they travel business class is when they are on transfer to take their position as well as when they come back. So that in terms of the receiving state, somebody will be receiving. So that is the measures that we have put in place in terms of that. With the Pan African Parliament as part of the food measures, as we indicated, Chairman, that we have a whole country agreement and clearly stipulate what type of benefits should then concern. But unfortunately, because of the presence that comes through, they want certain things that are more than that. So one of the arrangements that we indicated was that we pay for them, but we are giving them 3%, which basically includes the sessions and all that. But for additional expenses, we don't pay for it. You know, it must be the responsibility of the secretariat to have the money. But in terms of the car, we should then provide something equivalent to a Toyota Camry. That's how always the memorandum of understanding was signed. So they don't qualify for anything which talk about extra. So that is the equivalent. We're supposed to provide something like that. The KP, we advance them with a transfer, which we put the membership, that is the senior transfer, but also the operational budget, that is provided part of the work agreement, which is paid from our international cooperation program, so which we manage based on the expenditure. So the transfer that we pay for membership, the working them, but also the expenditure that we pay from our international cooperation, which is part of our of what is the office of the state. So the budget that we have is around about 8 million for having the operation of the Pan African Parliament, including NEPA.
The intervention you are making in Malapa, as you converted into what earlier on has said, and that the NDC minister agreed to. We have 5 people that are deployed in the Pan African Parliament. It's Honorable Kenya, Kalien, and then Shibambu, Memela, and it's Matime and Dr. Matime in the NCOP. Now, what we can do or should do is that because we made a visit to the Pan African Parliament ourselves last year, we can arrange that those who are deployed there give us a report. It will include the host country agreement. It will include the observations that the members were able to go there, picked up about the status of the president, the issues about the security. We do hear that the new president would like to remove either the security campaign of South Africa or the South African police, so that the Pan African Parliament is given security to by a security company of his choice, and that will not be in sync with the what is the security bill that is coming, and or even if that bill is not there, but the laws of the country may permit something like that. And that will include these cars that you're talking about, and that will include the man that you're talking about, and many other things that sometimes you just pick up in the problem we had, not that it's a problem, but that we did not know how we should be reported to, or whether we should be reported to about this as a committee.
Mexico, because Tina, she oversight the department. And the department, on behalf of South Africa, advisory holds Kazi Akame. And then is reporting in the African Parliament. They are therefore paying more than any other country. And to that extent, we are entitled to know through the department what is happening in the African Parliament. So those who are in that space, Honorable Kenya, Kalyan, Hibambo, Matime, Memela, etc. So we are quite sort of prepared to report at some point or another. Then one advise us that the report is already there. Let's see what discussion we can have about it. Yeah. That would be the best way. Yeah. Thank you. Can step off this on that. The next one.
Yeah, can I just to indicate in terms of the Cuban Medical Brigade, there were trilateral agreement. So what is happening here is that the Cuba, they provide medical doctors to Sierra Leone. So in terms of our arrangement, so in that process we then pay for their stipend in Sierra Leone. So the Sierra Leone government, they provide accommodation. So we pay for their stipend for 1 day. That is the arrangement in terms of, and the agreement is coming to an end very soon in terms of the money that we pay. The African Capacity Building Foundation there is just a foundation that was established in 1991, which basically, that was the request that we received from the Treasury. They want to give them part of the seed system in terms of the capacity that they want to see things happening. So that was the CA membership that we are paying to. We are not a member, but it's a voluntary contribution that we are paying to them. Just to indicate in terms of the rent fluctuation, this is one of the areas that is very difficult to manage. When we engage with national treasury, because we have got an open engagement with treasury, that in terms of the currency reserve, we've got net currency reserve when the rent depreciates. So our shortfall in terms of the aggregate come to nothing in terms of that. In terms of what reserve is keeping, they have a better net reserve. So we try to say how best can we manage this. So what we are trying to do is that we are exploring a possibility where we receive revenue on behalf of home affairs. Home affairs will transfer that function to us in terms of how we should then mitigate the exposure. So we are working with treasury to look at how can we then finance our operations using the revenue that we collected abroad when the rent weakens. So we are working on a process, but it's not finalized because we can't do any hedging, because if the rent increases, we will then get a loss. So those are the risks that we will manage. Terminal of suppliers, in terms of the impact core, what we have not done correctly, Chair, is sending the report on time to National Treasury. So that is basically a compliance issue to say our report, which was supposed to be on the 7th of each month, it goes on the 8th of the 7th month, or the 10th month, in terms of the time. So it's not based on the fact that we have not paid supply within the 30 days. So that's the part that we say we need to correct it, because we're not compliant. So that is the part that we are making on that. In terms of that. But when we're not complying, we then have to implement consequence management. In this case, it's much lighter, which is progressive discipline. So if now indeed there's no improvement, we then have to take things that are more corrective in nature. So that is the part that we are working on.
Hello.
No, I think that is the majority of the the committee chair, the DM has answered that, but the main focus on the committee, which is the fourth committee in the UN, because we've got five committees, six committees in the UN. The fifth committee deals mainly but for Palestine. This is a special committee. The refugees as well as human rights and peacekeeping. Those are the issues that it deals with, that and outer space, all these issues, that's why they in the special committee of the UN. So I think here the issue of ICC, I think we should be we take note of the ICC, the question on ICC in terms of our pronouncement. So I'll request the chair that this letter we can submit our response on it together with the budget report on that.
This matter was supposed to be discussed in the committee at the request of the honorable members from the DA in particular, but in their capacity as committee member. And I actually kept on disallowing, saying that the matter was subject, and it was. Now that the Supreme Court has had the matter last week Friday on the top, but unfortunately they reserved judgment, that makes the matter against that to the case. What must happen is that as soon as they give judgment, because they are the Supreme Court of Appeal, unless the matter goes to the Constitutional Court, if it doesn't, then we'll then call the department to come and have a discussion with this matter. But we don't want officials, want either the minister or the deputy minister to discuss the membership and the politics of the thing in the global and continental context, you see. That would be my view. I'm not sure if Honorable Sophie is comfortable now.
No, I'm comfortable, Chair. I'm comfortable, Chair. My worry was that I can't remember where did I hear about this issue in the South African context. I don't know if it was Justice Committee, but I think I heard from media, so I was worried because this thing is going, but why as a committee on international relations, we have not pronounced or say anything.
I was thinking that maybe there'll be some coordinated, you know, on around this issue, particularly on IDC and to withdraw on IDC, not on Al-Bashir.
No.
Leave it for that time, okay. But as soon as the judgment is given, the Funahi will have a decision with the okay. Okay, sure. Proceed.
No, thank you, sir. I think the other guidance from one of the members will take that the invitation will improve on that shepherd. I think there was an oversight from our part that we all members who are in this committee, they need to be part of our engagement with the warrant. So I think we'll take note that and we'll then extend the guidance chair to invite other chairpersons of work in the chief in terms of the work that we do. And the other areas chair with the 50 billion or supposed to be 60 billion, which we'll take note that we need to a proper job chair in terms of cleaning our documents, supposed to be 60 billion. And then we take note, Chair, that and we want to commit that the report will be deposited to the Secretary of the Committee.
Now, what happened to the status of this report, Omar, in this area around? So, but remember, from here, you know, we end up depositing it to Parliament.
Yes.
Will it be corrected immediately?
Correct, we've already corrected it.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Chairperson, I'm letting in on the Honorable Shopla, in particular on the issue of the ICC. I think that was not just ahead of ourselves and say that we demand that report be presented here. Remember that ICC falls under the periphery of the Justice Committee. So it must be that committee must connect with it because we don't want to trample on other people's toes. Yeah. But that one of Al-Bashir is different. Yeah. That one can deal with this direct here. Yeah. Just throw a window of caution around that.
Okay. I know that. So, you correct the report.
When I indicated that in terms of the improvement on the price of the oil per barrel before, it is today. So when we prepare this report, the barrel was sitting under $28. So, but when I indicated that it would be, when it's improving, we are looking from a global perspective, because the most of the countries are indicated in Luan. The sense of that in terms of their revenue debt budget for a barrel of oil is $70. So which now currently they are experiencing serious challenges, they're living in $1,000,000. In Luanda, they don't have. So they are only using the local currency, which means that the chances that they will be able to deal with the currency in terms of shortage of foreign currency. So which basically was one of the contributing factors is the price in terms of the reduction of oil as a commodity. So we are looking from a global perspective in terms of how then stimulate the economic activity between inter trade relations. So that is the basis of our thing. If it was, it's good when the all of the prices is low, and it's also good when, in terms of the depletion of rent for people who do that export in terms of that. So those are the issues that I just wanted to understand. No, yeah, so thank you, Chair. That's the chairman I tried to respond to the question raised by Lord Moon.
Okay. Any other additions? Okay. You see, the Honorable Kenya?
I don't remember hearing the answer on the issue of the process of the development bank, major bank. It's of inauguration.
Brick bank?
Yeah.
What about it?
Our inauguration. Inauguration of the bank.
Oh. The inauguration of the brick bank. Are out of it?
Denmark?
Denmark was responded to? no? Well, fine.
Okay, in terms of Denmark, we have our ambassador in Denmark. Honorable Mandela, she's our ambassador to Denmark.
So she's a big guy
like
that.
She's our ambassador to Denmark. So in terms of the BRICS bank, the launch of the African, the launch, just want to take a step at the chairperson, the BRICS bank now, they have a board of governors. So the operation is slightly different in terms of our engagement. In terms of the launch, what they are doing currently, they are doing recruiting first for the headquarters in Shanghai. So there will be a recruitment drive that will be taking place in March and April. So we're hoping that that launch will be done during that period in terms of the recruitment process. So when we have information, Chair, we'll be able to give that in a later stage.
Yeah, you know that man. On that matter which we have raised for the second time about the Thai people, that first of all, I think one day what we must do, the first thing is to acknowledge that from different parties we have different views, but we may need somebody an analysis of what is in the mind of the Chinese people about their economic alliance with Africa now. Do they want to recolonize the African economy, all of those things? Then, but in that discussion, that very day, someone must tell us what do the Americans want here. What is this thing about our and other things in Africa? Because we will not discuss China with Iran. Maybe I'm saying at a particular political level, we've got historical ties with them, Americans. For instance, for some of us, particularly Africa, the liberation movement will say these are the countries that are going to them. But now, see Africa, what does America want in Africa? What are the things that it does? What will China likely to do? What is Europe doing or is likely to do? This is candidate has been patiently this three. But it was not the others next week the other, because you will still be preparing one against the other. This is character that will then say your party views there, but South African view has is this one. Because you see it keeps on taking us to that side, creating species and ethical person. I don't know who would see.
But maybe one thing that we need to look critically at, if we say recolonize, was China a colonial power before? Were we colonized by China sometimes there, or any African state? That's a question we need to ask. But if you check, without me making a debate, African people and Chinese people share a common background of being colonized. If you can check a simple film of Russia, there's where they say in a facility, Chinese and dogs are not allowed. You know? So they suffer as much as we suffer. And it's not okay, but let's not get into that.
President, we propose that we close because we'll never agree, because party political. We go for China, that's it, that's the bottom line. That's the bottom line.
We go for China, I agree, respect, but no Mandarin.
No, in a way,
wait, member. I'm saying, if we take a discussion, we need a critical analysis about the Europe, the entire 28 states,
the political interest to have Africa, the economic assistance or lack of it, and then the USA, and then Italy and some of the Then, if you are going to discuss the BRICS Bank, then you must also look at the history of the IMF and the World Bank.
No.
Oh, well, I was done with the responses. Are there any announcements?
Wait.
There is an invitation to the diplomat water. Can you speak to them? The IGCC. Coming on the 22nd.
22nd and 23rd of February. Oh, it's a workshop on development diplomacy.
Where? What time?
In Crystal Palace, the one next to Central City, from 9 o'clock.
Portuguese, French, English, Mandarin, all of them. Maruma Pa. Continue announcement.
The secretary will have more information on this, Chetram, but the invitation is for members on the 22nd and 23rd at Crystal Palace next to Central City on development diplomacy. And then IGD has invited even experts from countries like Brazil, Mexico for best practices in terms of how they have handled development diplomacy in their countries. So the community would benefit indeed.
We're all invited.
We are all invited, including the next community.
Yeah. Manja, can we find that information in our pigeon hole this week so that and a transport arrangement will transport be needed?
Approval will have to be sought from Honorable Frolic for transport to the venue. And also, possibly, e-approval for members to stay the whole day because the dinner is on Tuesday and on.
Tuesday and Wednesday. We have a good relationship with the ICC. We need to show face there. Okay. I think I've got in like 2 days almost out, but maybe Monday can find something. The thing is like that.